tonight I want to just take a few minutes to share some things with you, and I did put a title on this. You've heard me say this before. Your best day with me is when I'm not me. And I just kind of been thinking on, meditating on redemption and what God has done. It just blows your mind as you sit at His feet and understand who He is and what He's done for us. But I just was just kind of meditating on some things and thinking about other faiths, you know, whatever, religions or whatever, they deal with sins. And everyone has all their lists, you know, the actions and the thoughts of mankind. But God deals with sin, which is the very nature of mankind. A huge difference. The sin nature has fallen man commit sins. So many religions just deal with the sins. It's almost like a behavior modification course. Well, you can change your outward behavior, but that isn't going to change your inward nature. That nature is broken and soiled and dirty before God and cannot be in God's presence. So the wonder is not that God comes in and you stop sin. The thing is the sin nature. And there's a couple of things that I wanted to do in reading over. I spent a little time in Oswald Chambers. He's an older writer from in the 20s. No, I didn't go to school with him, you smart Alex. I had a kid in the back there. Mm-hmm. But he was something I read the other day, kind of pulled a few things together. This thing about sin nature, what's going on, was best explained by Oswald Chambers when he says, "I have a heredity in which I had no say or decision." That's right. I wasn't there when I had sin. I didn't choose any of that stuff. "I have a heredity in which I had no say or decision. I am not holy, nor am I likely to be. And if all Jesus Christ can do is tell me that I must be holy, His teaching only causes me despair." It's because I know I'm not holy, and I keep failing. "But if Jesus Christ is truly a regenerator, someone who can put His own heredity of holiness into me, then I can begin to see what He means when He says that I have to be holy. And the moral miracle of redemption is that God can put a new nature into me through which I can live a totally new life. Through Jesus Christ, I can receive a pure and spotless heredity, namely the Holy Spirit." Whoa, that puts a little different process here. It's not a behavior modification course. It's not holding on with all your might to not do something that might be wrong. You can't. Your nature cannot meet God's measure of holiness. It's only His nature in you, and then letting that rule that you can do what God says. So the frustration won't be there. It will always be there trying to train a human nature to do a spiritual nature thing, and it isn't going to work. And that old devil lies and tricks everyone. Give up. God didn't mean it. It's okay. I don't see anything wrong with that. All that gyration goes away in the presence of God. That's why I can say your best day with me is when I'm not me. It's when I have voluntarily given myself over to the nature of God to let Him rule and to not let my sin nature rule. In that way, you will get the very best of me. But that goes for any wife, any husband, any brother, sister, worker, boss, anyone. This changed nature makes the difference in every single thing. You don't have to stay you. And that's what, you know, when are you going to change? When are you? You're always pointing the finger, or you point your finger at yourself. If we allow the nature of God to rule, we will then have a new ability to do what's holy. We far too long try to practice the God things with the goofy nature. And failure, that devil is going to whip you with failure. Because we realize we often haven't stepped into that more holy, that greater, higher understanding. Wait a minute, that's why Paul said, "Hey, it's sin in me that's doing this garbage. Wait a minute. There's a nature that does this. I condemn that. I come against that. It's the God nature that is now in me that I'm going to submit to." Now that takes not only awareness, that takes practice, that takes doing and redoing. And God gives us plenty of opportunity to practice in our trials and in our tribulations. And in Galatians 4, 3 to 7, there's a couple of things here. You know, I can't share what I think. That's what God, I think God's saying. It always has to be the Scripture. The Scriptures have to speak to us first. And that is how God is teaching us. It is from His Word. In Galatians 4, verses 3 through 7, so also, and it's in light of what I just said, so also we, while we were children, not meaning your age, meaning young in the Lord, we were held in bondage under the elemental things of the world. But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth His Son. Whoa! God's timing. We always think He's late. He's always exactly when it needs to be. He sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born of the law, not some holy roller whatever that just comes down and you say, well, of course, can you imagine that? Of course you don't sin. You came floating around in the air like some spirit just coming down. No. He came born of a woman just like you and me. And He came born under the law just like you and me. But He changed that. He did that in order that He might redeem those who were under the law. Whoa. That we might receive the adoption as sons. And what is that old devil trying to get you to do? Be legalistic. He tries to get you so under the law. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. And every time you fail, which you will in that natural nature, then he beats you up. The very one that led you to the very temptation and put the stuff in front of you is the one who now beats you. Oh, look what you did. Look what you just said. Look what you're thinking. The deceiver and the accuser. That's not the one we serve. This is a whole different life. And it says, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Ooh. Okay. So it's not just some religious holiness or just for a few people or some lineage that I missed out on. We all were born from a lineage of Adam, which started out perfect. But through disobedience, there was separation. That's what we inherited. Not God's holy nature. That's what we inherited. But God didn't leave to man. And sending Jesus at exactly the right time, we're restored. And we make a grave error to try and force our human nature to do the God things. We have to keep coming back to this huge principle. God's Spirit in you is the one that doesn't sin, because it says the Spirit cannot sin. So if the Spirit cannot sin, that's the one I want with my thinking, with my thoughts, with my response to people. It's just absolutely powerful. And in Romans 5, verses 8 through 10, but God demonstrates His own love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. All of mankind wasn't honoring Him. And before all of that was understood, who God was in Jesus' salvation, He died. He didn't die because everyone was obeying Him. He died before we even knew Him, much more then. So if He did all that before we submitted to Him, much more then, having now been justified by His blood in that sacrifice, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled now, we shall be saved by His life. Now, that's an awful lot that's in there. But it's talking about what God has done and its value. When He talks about my Spirit is in you, He's talking about the free gift. He's talking about an availability to everyone. He's talking about that new nature that you were not born with, but that you must come to Him. Free gift. But this redemption, this salvation, this grace, this wonderful thing that God has given, even though we don't deserve it, it's been poured out on us. It's not a get-out-of-jail-free card. And we have to understand that. It's not a freedom to go on sinning because God has redeemed you. With that change of the nature inside, if you truly ask Him inside, if we truly love God, we will not really be wondering, well, what can I get away with? It is not going to be there. And there's an example. I, 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 I forget. It may have been Philip Yancey. I forget. After a while, you just do so much reading and studying. I forget where it was, so please forgive me, anyone, if I'm not quoting it correctly. Someone had said, going to God and understanding His grace that He forgives you no matter what you do and His unconditional love doesn't mean it's a freedom to go ahead and do wrong. And this writer likened it to a man going to his bride on their wedding night and going, hey, we're connected now, but I want to know, how much can I get away with? You know, can I kiss another woman? Can I go and be with another? How much, you know, now that we're, how far can I go? Beyond, you know, you wouldn't do that. And God says, but so many come to Him and go, oh yeah, but how much can I get away with? If you truly love Him, you may fail Him upon occasion, but you're not going to go, how much can I get away with now that I got the salvation thing? Well, if that's the way you're thinking, I don't think you have the salvation thing. So, but God is good, and He'll chase you to the end of whatever. So really, if there is a love relationship with an indwelling of God in you, you're probably not going to be thinking like that. Rather, once we come to understanding, we spend more time trying to understand God's grace and not take advantage of it. And that, so there's a lot of silly teaching out there and stuff. You don't have to worry about a loss of your salvation. It's a matter of being saved, being sealed by the Spirit of promise, and not listening to the lies of the adversary that says, you're not of God because you sinned. He goes, no. In that moment that you sinned, that meant you didn't let me be your king. You let yourself be your king. And every time you let yourself be your king, you are going to come up wrong. You're going to come up against what I have said. So Jesus took the heredity of sin. That's what He did. He took the heredity of sin on Him. And He took it to the death of the cross. It does not have to rule you anymore. Because that's the only one that was there. The God nature wasn't there. The nature of God, the Spirit of God, descended upon people upon occasion, and there's many records of that. Now, with Jesus, because of what He did, there's an actual indwelling that's possible, which was not possible before. But now you got a real problem. Now, Paul talks about that battle that goes on in between you. Very, very possible. It actually, it's sort of like God made Jesus to be sin so that we're, as sinners, we can become saints. It's like, when I sit on that, I think on that, and I go, God, I melt because I know how much I have sinned. I know what I did before I knew You, and I know my foolishness that wasn't like it was before, but how some of it has continued afterwards. And yet You still love me. You woo me. You call me. You gently stroke me. You want me to be around You. That melts me. That helps me to not continue in foolishness. So, by Jesus doing all of this, that means that anyone can come into oneness with God. It's not just for a certain few. Now, some people are born into atheist homes and Muslim homes and Buddhist homes and Hindu homes and all sorts of other thought process homes. It makes no difference where you're born. There's a God up there that's calling. And He does have the truth, but you have a choice. And when He brings the truth, and even someone listening to this, you can disagree, you can disbelieve, etc. But you have heard it. There is but one God. He has sent Jesus Christ, and we are restored only in Jesus. There is no other name under all of the heaven and the earth by which a man can be saved except Jesus. Now you've heard it. You can't unhear that. Now whether you believe it or not, that is truly your decision. Each person's response to this free gift of God is up to the person. There's no finger pointing when you're before the throne of God at the end of your days. Because He has called you. He doesn't care where you're born or what your circumstances are. So you can't say, well, I wasn't born knowing this. He will, to every willing heart, He's going to bring all this. Your heart isn't willing. You shut Him out. That's your devastation. And I just wanted to, just let's look at Romans and finish up with Romans 6, 22 and 23. But now, having been freed from sin, but enslaved to God, and that's a good enslavement, you derive your benefit, resulting in sanctification, and the outcome, hello, eternal life. And this one we have heard over and over and over again, this last portion. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I go, oh, Linda, how boring. I already know that. Yeah? Well, why aren't you doing it? If we know that the God nature does not sin and yet we still sin, that's like the big flashing red light. You're not letting me be your God. And it's just like, it's so powerful. Every argument between husband and wife, parents and children, neighbor to neighbor, is because at that moment, the heredity of Adam is ruling. And whether you like to hear it or not, it's because you let it rule. And it's sin. We don't like to hear that. Oh, but I had an excuse and I was tired that day, or he made me mad, or she made me mad, and I was stuck. I don't know. We can have, you can write down every excuse you want. This is really very clear what God is bringing to us in His Word. I have given you a free gift of eternal life, and I will dwell in you if you let me. But the only way to be holy, as I have said to be holy, is to let my Spirit rule. Every one of us feels that fire, that anger, that hurt, that rejection, that resistance, that greed, that lust. I don't care what it is. You will first know it is present, and that is when you have to kill it. That's when you have to crucify it before anything goes any further. Right now, this thing within me is not of you, God. I resist it. I come against it. I call upon the power of God's Spirit to be in me now and rule. I submit. I give up. I give in to you. I guarantee you that your conversation will be different with whoever you're with. That circumstance, that wisdom decision, that whatever it is going to be so significantly different that it will not only change you, it's going to change everyone you're involved. God will use the change in your behavior, the change in your reaction, the change in your response to convict the hearts of those around you. Those that don't know Him, to have them come know Him, and those that do know Him, to convict them of their own sin, that they would be closer to Him. And let the Spirit of God rule. It's nothing to do about rules and laws. It's nothing to do. This is love. That's why He talked about love. But it's not all sloppy, gushy, stupid Adam nature love. The love of God in you and loving Him with a consuming love. There is a desire to please Him. That's what it is. It's not, I control my body, or I control my thoughts, or I control my deeds. Not because it's a rule from God, but because I love Him. And the times that I fail, it's because I didn't let His Spirit rule. But we need to be more aware of that. We just need to be practicing that, and God will always oblige us with circumstances to practice. Do not be discouraged when you fail. God says, I'm giving you some tests, and sometimes they're pop quizzes. But catch on. Don't fall into the foolishness again. Let God's Spirit rule. There will never be hatred and venom in an argument again. That it might be another person's part, but has nothing to do with you. That will change every single thing. God's Spirit will bring this about. Submit to Him. Call on that awareness. Keep prayer. Keep praise. Keep Scripture at the forefront. Not religiousness, running around with your Bible, hitting people on the head with it. No. God's Spirit did not do this when Jesus walked the earth. And He will not do that now. The power of His conviction coming through a Holy Spirit coming through you is what is going to do that. It is so powerful. All of that garbage that comes out from the Adam nature, when you let the God nature rule, all of that stuff ends. When you crucify the flesh and let that, it's a new nature. That's why we're not familiar with it. That's why we have to learn it. That's why we have to submit to God constantly in that awareness. This isn't something you do, okay, I got it now. And it happens forever. This is like all day, every day. This is a 24-hour fight, and the devil knows we just give up or we assume, I got this. You don't got anything. Mm-hmm. You have an Adam nature that will be glad to step in and do any kind of rule, give you any kind of ideas, work with any kind of feeling. It's like that old saying about the Indian guy said he got to his grandson, sorry about that. That the two Indian, the guy was talking about the two wolves inside, and the young son says, you know, gee, the good wolf and the bad wolf, which one wins? And the older guy says, the one you feed. It's really true. Which nature is going to rule in you? You feed the Adam nature with stupid books and movies and foul things that you're reading and people that you're hanging around and doing. You keep practicing the things of the flesh, then the flesh nature is going to grow. You keep practicing the things of the spirit, then the spirit truly is going to, its power is going to be more evident to you. It's going to be more where you're leaning to. It's going to be more who you are. But it takes practice first to recognize it, because the adversary has just filled everything with deception. The other is just getting down to the basic truth. Yes, God, I submit to you. I ask you to have your spirit rule in that. And doing that, in God doing all those things in you, you can do what God has said. Moment by moment, with that awareness and that change of the, I don't mean in just your head, I mean in your soul, in awareness of a new nature. Whoa. And everyone knows when that new nature rules, because it wasn't you. You know when it came out holy. You know when that answer was gentle. You know when that answer was wise and right or whatever it is. That new nature, that new inheritance, and understanding that you'll be able to live what God said, that new and living way. So let's make everyone say a great day. Don't be you. Don't be you. Live the Jesus in you. God bless you. Amen.